Grace and peace, saints. How good, how pleasant it is to gather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy asked me to fill in for him this evening, which I always do, not often, but always when he asks me, and usually it's shared with another brother or two. This evening he informed me that I was it, but also informed me to make it short. And when I pondered why, I thought a verse comes to mind that in a multitude of words, sin is not lacking. So I think it's a safeguard for my ramblings. So we are definitely privileged to gather as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And my wife was asking me, and I work with a guy, Cal, he's a pastor, and he said, "Are you nervous?" I said, "I am reverent because it's such a high honor to share the Word of God. But nervous, isn't it? Because when I look out and see brethren, there is just such a comfort in the body of Christ where love abounds, and I know it does here. It's comfort and it's a peace that is shared by members of the body of Christ. So I may not be very fluid in my speech, but I'm not nervous. So please be blessed by what we discuss tonight. If you would, open to 2 Timothy chapter 2. One of Pastor Timothy's, I don't know if it was a prerequisite, but in addition to being short, he said, pick a passage that you're comfortable with. And very quickly, after he had asked me to teach, I was thinking about what I would teach on. And probably the first thing that came to mind is, wow, I'm going to have to study quickly in the next 2 days. And it triggered, the mind is amazing to me as I contemplate what it does, but you say a word and it triggers, it's like a Google search in your mind, you know. You plug in study and right away, back to my Penn State Bible study days in which the NIV was like the handed out edition, this verse came to mind, and it was, "Study to show yourself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed." Now, in the New King James, that wouldn't have triggered that because it's not study, it's be diligent. But that's where we're going to be tonight. The passages we're going to go over is 2 Timothy 2, 14 through 16. And I'm going to read those to get us started. "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness." I came up from the basement this evening, and my kids were at the top of the steps. What are you doing, or how was it? And I said, honestly, it was exciting. The Word of God is exciting. What this opportunity gave me is it like forced me to do something that I want to do anyway. But when you're not forced to study or get into the Word, and you know nobody's sitting in front of you, you can say, well, I'm just thinking about it, you know. So I'll just do a quick read, or I'll think about something this morning, and you call that your quiet time, or you count that as, okay, well, or maybe just, I really don't have time. I really, my day started with a phone call that I didn't expect, and it got going, and that's my life. So this was you have to, you know, if you're going to stand up there and teach, you have to be ready. So you're going to have to earmark time, which shows you can. And so anyway, as I came up, I just said, it's exciting because there is truth in there, and as one who is not gifted as a pastor or a teacher, it still is profitable to get in and study. And with today's availability of books and internet, which I didn't even use any computer resources, there's just so much at our fingertips. And that's an easy way to just get into the Word. So, let's begin that. 2 Timothy 2:14, we'll start. Remind, and if you're looking at your New King James Version, the two thems are not there, though they are understood. Remind of these things, charging before the Lord not to strive. Now, 2 Timothy is a pastoral epistle. It's Paul writing to Timothy, who we've heard taught about is equal-souled with Paul. He is like as like-minded as can be. And so this is Paul's letter to him, the younger pastor, and this is what he's saying. Remind of these things, charging before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. So you take this verse, and this is Paul saying, Timothy, to your assembly, remind them of these things. Now, the of these things is what we're going to read when we get into the context of where we are, and we'll go back and read that. But it is a reminder towards the church and charging to the assembly. Okay, so sometimes we read pastoral epistles and think, well, that's for pastors, you know, that's qualifications for pastors, or that's an exhortation to a pastor, and I'm not a pastor, so I'll let that go. And I'll talk about that I think honestly we should be desiring the best gifts of the Lord. Now, we might not be identified and earmarked as a pastor teacher, but, and I'm not saying to try to be, you know, if you're not, but, especially if you're a woman, but you can study and you can be ready to teach someone younger than you and encourage in the Word. And the idea is when in 1 Corinthians 14, when it's talking about desire, instead of tongues, desire to prophesy, okay? And the point of it is because it edifies, okay? That's the point, and that's the point I'm making is, even though this is from Paul to Timothy, the point of it is he's charging Timothy with these things to edify the assembly, and we'll see that come back up. Second, what charge them what? Not to strive about words that don't have profit. Words to no profit. Okay? To the ruin of the hearers. Okay, so there's this. Remind them, charge them of this, not to do this. Okay, that's Paul to Timothy, and I'm just going over the general here. But to him, he says, now this is Paul to Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Okay, now this is kind of like this. Remind them of this, charge them to this, and you be above that. You be not marked as one striving about words and doing these things that he's telling them not to do. Okay, a worker identified as one who is approved of God, and a worker who does not need to be ashamed. And how is that rightly dividing the word of truth? Okay, you don't need to be ashamed as a believer when as you get a handle on the word of God. Okay. You could take that two ways, what I just said. One, it's not a shameful thing to pursue Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and our Savior. Be identified in Him. That's not really what it's talking about, but that is true. You will not be shamed as a pastor as you get into the Word and somebody has a question, that you then can say, look, let's go to this. Let's take this apart. I see what you're saying, but the rest of the Scripture's saying this. You know what I mean? So we know that the Scripture can't lie. So let's see how we can make it work, but how we can rightly understand it. Okay? And that's the point. And you respect a pastor like that. And again, I'm not differentiating, hey, he's talking to Timothy. This is us too. My confession is, I've been a believer for at least 30 years. I mean, I know I was a believer in second grade about 8 years old. Definitely. When I am in a conversation with somebody and I know what the Scripture is saying, but I have no idea the reference. I mean, I know you've been there. Okay? So you're like, well, I'll take an obvious one, but, you know, for God so loved the world, I don't know where that is, but I know it's there, you know, that He gave His only Son, something like that, you know. Now, if you don't know that one, that's embarrassing, and there's the shame part. Okay, but you know what I'm talking about. You know that in whatever period of time you've been a believer, you've been taught something, and you know something, at least the gospel information. And you know that it's in there, but to my shame, I don't know where it is. You know, I haven't, again, studied or been diligent to the Lord in this capacity to, you know, not only add the knowledge of the Scripture in my soul, but also be kind of more systematic about it, be rightly dividing. That's where I get that. And we'll go into these a couple words. But then he goes back. So he's saying, remind them of these truths, which we'll talk about verse 14. Remind them of those things, charging them not to strive about these words that don't profit anything. You be above that. Be diligent, marked as one who's diligent, approved by God. Okay? Doesn't need to be ashamed, and you're doing that by rightly dividing the word of truth. Be well studied, Timothy. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And it's kind of taking it full circle. Okay? You're charging them not to strive about words that don't profit anything. Okay? You be this righteous leader in the assembly, and don't get into that other thing, the strivings in the words. Okay? Shun profane and idle babblings, for they'll increase to more ungodliness. So that's the basic breakdown of these three things, these three verses. And then we're going to go into a couple of these words just to really get a handle on them. But first, I want to go back to 2 Timothy 2, 1, read all of 1 through 4, or 13, and then finish with 14, 15, 16 to get a handle on what was he talking about right before these three verses. Okay, so if you would, just follow with me, be listening. I'll point out a couple things when we're done with this. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us if we are faithless. He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. I don't know about to you, but when I was beginning my study, I jumped right into 2:15 and I figured, well, I better get the sentence before that and I'll add the sentence after that to kind of get a real good full understanding of that verse. And then as I was into those and studying, and I jumped back and got, and okay, more context because it's saying remember that, remind them of these things. Those things that we just read really came to life to me. Okay, that's the remind them of these things. And I just want to go back very quickly to go through what Paul just said to Timothy. Okay, so calling him his son, that's Paul's, like a spiritual father to Timothy. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Remember, this position you have is a gift from God, your salvation position, your pastorate position. They're all these, we live as gifts of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. That jumped out at me for this context of 14:15 about being, let's not dismiss this as a pastoral thing. The point of the Christian life is for edification of believers. So he's saying, remember these things I'm teaching you, teach them to other men so that they can pass them on to other people. That's the whole point, and look at us today. Okay? Thousands of years, we're looking at the things that Paul said. And if you remember the things that Paul said, he's saying in one part, when I came to you in fear and trembling, nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified is what I was teaching you. Okay? So that's what Paul's about. He's telling Timothy, you heard these things, that's what we're about. He's not going into petty church policy. You know, that's not what the early church is about. I'm not saying there aren't some necessary things that are, you know, in the Scripture that should be followed. But that's not what he's exhorting Timothy to right now. He's saying, remember these things. These are foundational truths. Hold on to them. Teach them to faithful men who will be able to teach them to others. You must endure as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just wanted to point out a couple word pictures. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. If you're, you know, in, and I'm not talking like just occupation and you're, you know, you're in war, but you're just, you know, doing your rounds, making sure the peace is kept in a place. If you're a soldier in World War II, you're not on the side going out and selling muffins to the peasants, you know, or buying and selling. You're not just, hey, let's put on, I'm not saying that nobody ever did that, but that's not safe, okay? You're in a war, you could die, you're focused on your job, okay? If you're in that part of war. That's what he's telling Timothy. Your position is one that is going to be under attack, okay, from the evil one. The world is going to try to take you out just in the complacency of life. Okay? Be focused on your job. Okay? And so that you may please the one who enlisted you. Again, pointing back to Christ. You know, he's not talking about himself. You know, it's not about Paul. You know, hey, I made you the pastor, so you want to be able to, you know, please me. Like, no, the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of life that you have in Him, and as a pastor, which is your, what your Christian walk is all, you're gifted in that, so that's what you're walking in. Be reminded of that. also. If anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Okay, I was thinking of a marathon. I would really never want to run a marathon. Scott's not here. That was my disclaimer that I don't want to run the marathon. No, Scott ran part of one and has asked me to do it next year, which I may, just out of submission one to another. But a marathon, just that pain of the body, does not excite me at all. Okay, so if I'm running in a marathon, I can't think of ways to make it easier, like a bicycle. You know, you don't, if you win and you rode 20 of the miles on a bike, you don't win, okay, even if you ended up running the last six. Okay, that's kind of, it's like there are rules to this Christian walk. You can't be the diligent Antichrist deceiver that's out every day knocking on the door presenting a different gospel. The gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ, God, the Son who became a man. He is the Messiah that the Old Testament Jews looked for, came, is coming again. He died and rose again. You can't take out one of those and say, well, he's real good, but he's not God. But we're out here every day hitting the pavement, getting doors shut in our face, all for holiness, you know. They're riding the bike. They're trying to achieve righteousness outside the rules that the one who is righteousness set up. That there, you won't be saved outside of my Son and a right understanding of Him. That's just one example. But so we go on. Consider what I say. May the Lord give you understanding in all things. Here it is. Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:8. Remember Jesus Christ. Now, it says in the New King James, of the seed of David. In the Greek, it's risen from the dead is first. Of the seed of David is second. It's like Paul's way of saying, remember Jesus Christ who is before he was of the seed of David and taking on that body, he's God, which is shown by his resurrection. Okay? Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Okay? Of the seed of David, that's his messiahship and his taking on a human body according to my gospel. These are the elements that I have taught you. Remember them. And these are the elements for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer. I'm in chains, but the Word of God is not in chains. So Timothy, be encouraged in this. Remember Jesus Christ. It may come down to chains. I'm saying endure even to pain. Look, I am, and it's worth it because He is worthy. And this is a faithful saying. Oh, therefore, okay, 10 is important. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Again, putting back the reminder that our walk here on earth is for the edification, for the glory of God, to His glory, but for the edification of the saints. And it's reminding, and then he says, this is the faithful saying. Now I'm going to read this without the italicized word, and I'm not saying the point is still not changed within there, but for if we died with, we shall also live with. If we endure, we shall also reign with. If we deny, He will also deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Okay, this is like, as far as rightly dividing the Word of God, this is like one of those classic examples to me. Okay, if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. Everybody's, yes, yes, yes. If we endure, we shall also reign. Oh, that's something to look forward to, encouragement. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. Okay, we better work unto salvation because He's going to deny us if we deny Him. It's not what that's saying. The rest of the Scripture doesn't support that. But that's one of those things that you get into with believers, nonetheless. And it's like, okay, let's not stop there. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. It's just one of those, like, wow, so close to 2 Timothy 2:15, where it's saying, a workman who does not need to be ashamed. You don't need to be ashamed, even if you get there and like, I don't know all the other verses, you know, yet. But I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to study. I'm going to find out what the Word of God says. And here's an example where it's like, okay, we can get into Scripture and dig into this to exhaustion to find out why it looks like if we deny Him, He will also deny us. How is that? Because right then after it says, if we are faithless, He remains faithful. That seems worse to me. Okay? If we don't have faith compared to deny Him, okay? That's not the point of what I'm teaching. But my point is, there's this excitement in the Word of God to say, look, this is one of those cases where we can just keep digging and digging and digging and be founded in the truth that's in the Word of God, that we have been saved for eternity. What's this mean then about deny? Okay, Peter denied. Okay, we can go with that. Let's study that. Is that the kind of temporary thing? Is that a fellowship thing? Okay, let's go in. Again, I'm not going into that now, but that's the excitement that's found in the Word of God, because you know it's true. So let's find out how this fits together, even though these two together seem to kind of contradict, if you will, but they don't. So let's dig in. That's the excitement that you can find in the Word of God. Okay, so let's get to our three verses. Strive. Okay, remind them of these things. Those are the things we just talked about. Okay, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, of the seed of David. Remind them of these things. Remind them of their walk in Christ. Remind them to be soldiers. Remind them to endure hardship. Remind them of these things. All these things, these gospel truths, foundational truths that I'm telling you to teach men so that they can teach them. And charge them not to strive about words of no profit. Okay? If you're reminding them of these gospel foundational truths, you're building them up. Don't get caught in mental gymnastics about certain words that you're trying to, hey, I learned this word and I really want to look like I studied, so I'm going to, you know, kind of put my little soapbox here and get on, and I have this word. I'm going to just be about this word. And I don't really know, and people know that I don't really know, but I'm going to just stand on it, and this is my pet doctrine that I'm not giving up. And it's to the tearing down, it's to the ruin of everybody you talk to, because it's not those things that you're to remember. And he's saying, just stay away from those things. Don't get involved. Encourage them not to be. It doesn't say that two brothers or sisters in the Lord can't get into the Scripture and say, hey, I take this way. Oh, I see that. Well, I'm triggering these verses that take it this other way. Let's get in love and hash this out and just really be reveling in the truth and the love and the peace and the power of the Scripture. In not striving sense, not quarrelsome. We're not arguing. We're not battling. That's the spirit that is not happening when two people that love each other and are dealing in gentleness are talking. Especially Timothy, and this was what 16 goes in. You know, Timothy, who's, you know, got the pastoral, you know, club, he can say, well, I'm the pastor. What I say goes, you know. And he knows more and he can get around it. Timothy, stay away from that too. You're not to do that. Even though you're rightly divided and they recognize you as pastor. So that's striving. And not to profit. Very simple. Doesn't help. It's not helpful. There's no value. Okay? In 15, just a couple words. Oh, okay. To the ruin. Okay? And the Greek word, or the Greek interlinear, translates it. There's one word, and it's to the throwing down. That's what the Greek word, and I don't know what it is. Didn't look that one up. But the Greek interlinear has to the throwing down. So it's like to their it's to their ruin. That's subverting, overthrowing. The point is not to be on top. Hey, I won that argument. You know, I won that word battle. You know, I walk out of there, I'm the more spiritual one today. You know, and I'm going to just try to stay ahead, and that's not what it's about. It's to build each other up. So if you're not doing it in that way, don't get caught into that. Okay? Verse 15. Again, the NKJV says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. The NIV, the one I remember from college, is study to show yourself approved. Okay? Another one says, do your best. The Greek interlinear, one word, the one Greek word is translated earnestly study. So I think be diligent, earnestly study. All those ideas are in there. Okay? Webster's, about be diligent in Webster's dictionary, characterized by steady, earnest, and energetic effort. Okay? What diligence is not this sprint of work ethic. Okay? I have a company. I've had many years of many guys working for me. Okay? You have these kids, they are kids, they're high school kids that I've had in the past, or young college guys, that, you know, they'll pour it on at the beginning, and then they're like, oh, dig that hole, let's say, you know, but we have like 50 of them, okay, dig that hole. And they'll get out there, yeah, I'll get that. The first one, they bust out, and then it's like, oh, where's the water break? Where's the, I'll go to the truck and get something you need. And it's like, look, what I'm looking for is the guy that's just steady at it, always hard, takes the break he needs to recoup his body, knowing to keep himself going. You know what I mean? That's the diligent guy. Not the guy who carries, watch this, I'll carry 3 bundles of shingles up this ladder. And then he's dead, you know, and can't do any more, you know. That's diligence. You see what I'm saying? It's marked by this effort. It's marked by, in a spiritual sense, it's not the guy who comes back from a conference and is all pumped up and, you know, give him 3 days. He does this every year. You know, he's going to come back. Oh, it was the greatest. That music was just spirit-filled. And then by Wednesday, it's like, oh, my life, you know. And it's, you can't get anything spirit. Hey, I got this verse. Ah, just so, you know, how about them Steelers? You know, let's go back to the mundane. You know, let's go back to the weather. You know, I'm done. It was great, and it was true, but it's not diligent. It's not the guy who's like, okay, you can always count on him to be receptive to something of truth. It's the sister who's consistently ready to hear, ready to change. Oh, that's different than what I thought the Scripture was teaching on. I'm going to change that, you know. And I'm going to find something else. If you're a young believer, this is diligence. Like, oh, something else in my life didn't line up to that. I'm okay with that. I'm recognizing authority. I'll get into that, make sure that's true, and then I'm going to change. If it is, I'll just change. I have to. That's the diligence that what Paul is saying to Timothy. Study. Be diligent. Be characterized as one who is approved by God. Okay? And then the other words that I looked up, rightly dividing in verse 15. The Greek word is orthotomeo, to cut a straight path, to teach right. Rightly dividing is a good way to translate it, I think. It's look, I see what the Scripture is saying, and I see what's around it, and I see what the whole truth of the Scripture, this isn't just something, you know, off the cuff, that it's, I'm looking into this, I'm not like getting all emotional about this one passage because it seems to support my pet doctrine, you know, it's rightly dividing, I take it under the umbrella of the whole Scripture, and I'm looking into it, and and you correctly handle. That's another way I think the NIV translated it. And okay, to cut a straight path, to teach aright. Okay, and then verse 16. But shun, put aside profane and idle babblings. And I looked up these two words. Profane is bebelos. And it's Webster's Dictionary, profane is not concerned with religion. It's secular. Okay. Also interesting in this Bible dictionary I had, this Greek word, it had to do with Gnostic myths and chatter are profane. They claim to offer otherwise inaccessible truth, but in fact are remote from God. Okay, so this is what, you know, it's the spiritual cloak you put on, and it's, I'm seeming like the Gnostics word. Like, I'm having this air of intelligence, and it has to do, oh, you like religion? I'll have an air of intelligence about religion. But in fact, what you're sharing is so apart from what God's religion is, what the gospel truth is. You see what I'm saying? Like, stay away. That's the profane that he was talking about. And that word is only used a couple times in that sense. And idle babblings, that one word, empty or vain sound. Okay? The interesting part about this is when you profane sounds like a bad word. Okay, yeah, stay away. Shun, profane, you know, and if you know the Greek word of the time, what it's indicating, these, not hyper-spiritual, but the false spirituality sayings and things. Okay, that marks it. And profane sounds bad. But idle, you know, idle, it seems nothing. And that's, it is. It's empty and vain. It's like, stay away from that, Paul, or Timothy. And why? For they will increase to more ungodliness. Okay. We're closing up so I can follow that one short instruction. But here's the full circle. Remind them of these foundational truths, the Lord Jesus Christ, gospel truths. Okay? Remind them of how the spiritual walk is. And I'm reminding you, Timothy, it's going to be a struggle. It's worth pain. It's worth imprisonment and chains. But the Word of God is not in chains. It's worth that. Remind them of that. Remind them of these faithful sayings. If we die with Him, we'll live with Him. If we endure with Him, we'll reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will deny us. But be comforted in if we're faithless, He remains faithful. Like, wow, remind them of that. Build them up in that. Edify them of that. And charge them this. Stay away from the things that just knock people down. Okay? Stay away from shun profane and idle babblings. Okay? And on the positive, study. And Timothy, you do this, but we can all learn from it. We can all be encouraged in it. Be diligent. Be characterized by one who is endeavoring to know the Word of God as one approved to God. Present yourself approved to God. I think of this when I think of approved to God. I think of what's in the Scripture just blatantly says something that pleases God. It's His Son. This is my Son. When He speaks in the New Testament audibly a couple times, He says, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. That's what pleases the Father. So when we're going to be about one who is diligent, marked, earnest, study, that kind of diligence, it's one who is in the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? The end result is this. I have this little didn't start like this, but it looks living and loving. Okay? Love, the end result is, if you're doing this, shunning these things, and being marked as one diligent for the approval, marked as one who is approved of God, the end result is, you're going to be loving the brethren. You're going to be able to edify them because you're going to have doctrine in your soul because you're earnestly studying for God's approval. Okay? You're going to be loving the brethren because you're capable of imparting the Lord Jesus Christ to them. You're going to be loving the Lord Jesus Christ, which pleases the Father. You're going to be in His Word, which is how you know Him. It's kind of circular, but it's this simplicity of the Christian walk. He wants one thing. It's all about His Son, and He wants His Son back. Okay? That's how He's glorified. Glorify the name of My Son as you live your life on this earth. That pleases Me. That's loving God and loving the brethren. And living this way. Live courageous and bold lives. Russ and I took the youth group boys to West Virginia. The 30-hour away time, the focus was holy lives, holy living. And our point was, don't let holiness be a little better than the guy next to you. The holiness standard of what God wants is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, says, be holy as I am holy. Okay? When you read these verses, you know, you're not getting holiness by coming and... It's easy. I've been in this assembly for, I don't know, 30 years. And have been under good teaching. Like, above par teaching, and that's an understatement. I've seen people in assembly who aren't here now, but in the past, like, I have knowledge because I'm in these teachers, or I'm under some other teacher who is a good teacher too. And instead of using that in the building up of saints, they use it to, oh, you believe that? Which is in error. You know, it's a brother in the Lord, and they're in error. But you see why, you know, if there's verses that if you didn't read the rest of them, you see why they think that, you know, or maybe it's emotion and they think that way. Love them. Don't, you know, strive about words to no profit. Okay? It's not profitable. Build them up. Love them. Avoid those. Oh, you want to talk about this that I know I can't just shake my head yes? I'm going to avoid that conversation with you because I love you and I don't want to, if you're not ready to hear that yet. Okay? But if you have to get into it, be gentle. Say, look, let's march down the road that we're unified in Christ first. Okay? I'm going to tell you ahead of time. We're not going to agree about this. You're welcome to tell me what you want, and I'm going to share some scriptures with you, and I hope you, you know, can see the light. But that's the heart behind these passages. So living courageous, bold, holy lives. Living lives that we know please the Father, our Father, and please the Father, our Father. Okay, I wrote that, and when I said it, it seemed profound, but that's the point. Please the Father, our Father. Like, know that you're His children. That's such a special position. We didn't do anything to merit it. We sit here, sinners saved by the gift of salvation found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's our Father because we know what pleases Him, and it's His Son, the Word of God. So the encouragement, the exhortation is reread this, and I really encourage you, you can get into the Word of God very easily. The resources that I have at home are hand-me-downs from my dad, who I think has doubles, but I got them from him. It's a concordance, it's a Bible dictionary, and it's an interlinear, and then a whole bunch of different versions. And I'm telling you, the verse, "Be still and know that I am God," is true. But you have to do the first part. You have to be still. You have to stop. And that's the thing that just was so exciting to me. Okay, I have to. It's like when I teach Sunday school. Okay, I have to have this time to be ready to teach the kids, or even just in the time that I'm just in the Word and it comes to life and it's quickening the soul. And so how quickly we then get back into the things that just distract us. They're idle. They're not, they're empty. They're not sin. Those are things that don't, if you're into those things, what'll happen? Increase to more ungodliness. It's not that you're just gonna stay here, because you're getting other things that are apart from God. Okay? Don't remain idle. Okay? Don't remain complacent. And He is worthy of our being diligent in His Word. And so, when you look around at each other tonight, know that the way that you can love them, each other, is to be able to impart truth, impart life, found in the Word of God. And in order to do that, you have to know it. And teaching, certainly good teaching, is very good part of that. That's great. And get fellowship and get teaching as much as you can. But honestly, you can get into the Word of God and be able to rightly divide it yourself. And I don't mean yourself, like, leave a church. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you can yourself too. Like, you can, you don't have to sit there and just look at Timothy and say, wow, he really knows his stuff. Or another pastor that you've sat under before and like, boy, that guy just rattles verses. This conference coming up. Boy, those guys, when they teach, they just, Scripture's just flying off. You don't have to be a gifted teacher to have that. You don't have to be a man to be able to get into the Word and to learn about your Savior. Like, don't say, oh, that's a pastoral epistle. I'm a woman. Throw it out. You know, there's encouragement in there, and it's to the personal Christian walk. So, I encourage you to love each other, be in the Word. And it's such a privilege to share His Word with each other. So do that. Jesus Christ is worthy of all glory. Amen.